Our scripture reading, selected by Jimmy Fabrizio, is from Psalm 107. Some sat in darkness and the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their distress, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Our speaker this morning is Jimmy Fabrizio. When I asked what grade he was, he said, I'm kind of a senior. That means he's graduating in December. He's a student ministry major from Poughkeepsie, New York. Please welcome Jimmy to us.
All right, hey guys, like Dr. Smith said, my name is Jimmy Fabrizio, and I just want to share some of my story with you guys today, and hopefully it can be an encouragement and a help to you guys, and just going to let you know that parts of this story, the main part of it, I've never shared with anyone before except for my wife, and a little nervous about that, so just bear with me as I try to get through that, and never even shared it with my dad, who's obviously been one of the most important people in my life, and he's going to be listening to the podcast later on, so I'm a little nervous about that as well. But yeah, so here it goes, I guess. I'll start at the beginning, obviously. I grew up until I was 5 years old anyway, with me, my dad, my mom, and my brother Michael, who was 2 years older than me. And obviously I don't have any real good memories up until I was five, but my first real vivid memory is one day when I was five, my brother and my dad were riding go-karts, and some freak accident, they crashed into the wall and my brother died. And that, for me, is pretty much where my life starts, because that's the first thing I remember. And then I went into kindergarten with that, because that happened in August. I started kindergarten in September, and that's really where my life began. While I was in kindergarten, my parents decided that they were going to get a divorce. And so for me, it was just like, boom, boom, one thing after the other. And I mean, as a little kid, I was crushed. I didn't really know what was going on. The only thing I had was my family at that point. And right away, it was falling apart. And it was rough, as you can imagine. And so over a several-year drawn-out process, my parents got this divorce going, and it wasn't finalized till later on. And it was just draining for all of us, and we were left angry and tired afterwards. And then things kind of started to settle down, I guess. It was all right for a while. My mom moved only a couple hours away, and I was able to see both my dad. I lived with my dad most of the time. I went to a Christian school, went to church. My dad was a Christian, so that was good. And then I saw my mom on the weekends. So, you know, it was a pretty good system, I guess, as good as it could be, being a kid with divorced parents. And then my mom got remarried, and then she got divorced again, and then she got remarried, and I guess I just kind of hardened myself to it, to the point where I was okay with it, because I didn't feel like dealing with it. But by the time I was about 15, when I was really getting used to the craziness of everything that was going on and becoming okay with the fact that I had two different homes and my parents weren't together, my mom got diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and she was out of work for a while. She couldn't walk. She was in and out of the hospital, and it was just, again, it was emotionally draining, and it was tiring, and it was starting to make all of us just a little more bitter. And then she got cancer. And up until that point, even though it was rough, I was okay, because I could deal with the fact, I got used to the fact of being an only child and not having a brother. And I got used to the fact that I had two homes and I had to travel back and forth. And I was even okay with the multiple sclerosis, because it wasn't life-threatening. I mean, she couldn't walk for a little bit, but she was going to be okay. But when the doctor said that she had cancer, to me that was it, because cancer kills people. And I didn't want to lose my mom, obviously. And so I just got so angry at that time. And I wasn't angry at my mom because it obviously wasn't her fault. I wasn't angry at my dad. And so not knowing who to be angry at, I turned to God and I said, you know, God, you were the only one who could have prevented her from getting cancer, and you didn't. So clearly this is your fault. And I just got so bitter. And like I said, I was in a Christian school, so I kind of just stopped really hanging out with my Christian friends. I still saw them all the time, but I got a new set of friends, and it kind of just got me into this downward spiral. I got depressed, and I got more angry, and I started cutting myself. And me and my friends, we started dabbling with drugs and alcohol, and at its worst, I was probably cutting myself 2 or 3 times every day while being high or while being drunk, and just terrible darkness and torment, and it was awful. And I try to think of words to capture how I felt, but I can't even think of words to describe how depressed I was at that time. But even that got old really quick. We decided that, you know, the drugs and the alcohol, it was fun, but it didn't make the depression any better. If anything, it just made it a ton worse. So we kept searching, and where we ended up was probably the worst place we could have. As we were looking for more to do and more ways we could rebel, we landed on the occult. And just kind of a little clarification, there's really 2 main types of occultism that I found anyway. And the first was Satanism, which is basically doesn't really believe in Satan, so to speak. It's about living for yourself. It's about doing whatever makes you happy. Repay evil for evil. Repay good for good. You know, take revenge if someone harms you, and only love the people who deserve it. And then there's the other half of that, which is what most people think of. It's the, you know, the demonic activity, the spells, the voodoo, the witchcraft, all that. And we got involved with both of that. It started out with just, you know, the Satanism. We started dabbling and reading the Satanic Bible, and it was like, yeah, do whatever you want. Please yourself. Live to please your flesh, because that's all that really matters. And that sounded like a great idea, so that's what we kept doing. We kept doing the drugs. We kept drinking. But it wasn't enough, and we still wanted more, so we went deeper. And that's when we got involved in the witchcraft end and in the voodoo. And that is the darkest, scariest time of my life. And this is kind of the part that I've never really shared with anyone. But from there, it was bad. We started, you know, buying these books that would teach us how to cast spells and how to conjure up spirits. And when we got angry, we would take revenge by sitting down in a group, and we would make voodoo dolls, or, you know, all that stuff that you hear about when you hear about the occult. And we would, it got to the point where we would actually pray to Satan to take revenge on people. And I can think of one specific example. When I was in high school, there's this one kid who, I obviously wore black all the time, and I was a goth, and so, you know, I got made fun of for that. And I didn't have any real enemies in my high school, but there's this one kid that, you know, just over the course of a week kept making fun of me about it, and I got angry. So when I got to see my friends, we got together, we drew a little picture of this kid on paper, we sat in a circle, and we read from our book, and we put a spell on him, or that's what we thought anyway. And, you know, we set our little chants, we lit the paper on fire, did our thing, whatever we had to do, and, you know, closed by praying to Satan to take revenge. And to us, you know, that we just took it lightly. And looking back, I just realized how dark and demonic and just disgusting it really was. And the next week when I went back to school, that kid got expelled. And I don't know if it was because of what we did, but at that point I realized that being involved in the occult gave me power. And when I did that stuff, I felt invincible. I was so powerful because here I was, just a high school kid. Someone made me mad. All I had to do was say a couple words, and bam, he was expelled from school. And that was it. I felt incredible. But then on the other hand, I felt the worst fear that you could imagine, because I knew who I was dealing with. I knew that Satan was real, and I knew that with that came hell and came torment. I went to a Christian school. I wasn't stupid, and I knew that Satan was the enemy of God, and I was choosing to side with him. So I felt so afraid and so dark and so terrified. At points, it was crippling that I couldn't even move because I was so afraid of what would happen to me. And somehow, I had this power and this fear that just both ruled my life. And the worst of it came one night that I remember at my mom's house. And I haven't told you guys this, but at the time, I only had one friend who I felt was a real Christian. Every Christian I knew in my mind was a hypocrite. And they said one thing, they did another. All they did was, you know, judge you and pick you apart. But I had one friend, Nick LeCary, who was, in my mind, a selfless, real Christian. And he was really the only one that I talked to at my high school about anything. Well, one night I'm at my mom's house, I'm all alone, and I'm on the internet, and Nick comes on, and all he says to me is, "Hey, how you doing? Just wanted you to know I was praying for you." And that made me furious, because who is he to think that he needs to help me, and who is he to ask God to help me? So I just slammed my computer shut, and I went to bed, and I thought that was the end of it. And when this happened, I think it was May, so it was about 70 degrees outside. And I remember going to bed at 8 o'clock, and I woke up an hour later. It was only 9 o'clock, and when I woke up, I was freezing cold. My lips were blue. The wind was blowing like crazy. My nose was bleeding, and I had no clue what was going on. And I just laid there in my bed, and I shivered, and I cried under the covers because I knew that something demonic was going on, and I didn't know what it was or what was going to happen, but I was terrified. And I can remember that. Up until then and since then, I have never been so afraid in my whole life, and I still don't know what was going on, but I was so terrified, and I just cried out really quick, you know, "God, save me," or "God, help me," or whatever it was, and it didn't go away, but eventually my mom got home, and by the time I ran downstairs, you know, the wind had stopped blowing, my nose had stopped bleeding, my lips weren't blue, I was fine. But I knew at that moment, I knew that night that I had to get away from whatever I was involved in because it was terrifying and it was so real and so powerful. And over the next month or so, I contemplated telling someone what had happened, and I never did. But I remember I finally got up enough courage. It took me a while because, like I said, I was afraid. I was terrified of what had happened, and I was addicted to that power that I thought I had. But eventually I got up the courage, and I remember, again, I went online, and this time I was hoping that Nick would be online so he could tell me he was praying for me. And he was, and he did. And when he told me that, I just broke, because I knew that what I was looking for the whole time wasn't power, and it wasn't revenge. Well, that's what I was looking for, but it wasn't what I needed. And what I needed was love, and what I needed was to feel whole, and what I needed was to be saved from this, because it was terrible, and I knew where it was leading me, and it was leading me to death. And I broke at that moment, and I just remember weeping on my floor for hours, just praying that God would forgive me and that he would save me and that he would protect me. And, you know, I was ready. I was ready for everything to change all of a sudden. Like, yeah, now everything's going to get great. But it didn't. And it took time, and it took months before I was able to conquer that fear. And I remember there were times in those months where I was learning what it meant to be a Christian and what it meant to live my life for God and not for Satan and not in fear. And there are times that I was so afraid that I thought Satan was going to physically kill me or physically harm me in some way because I was devoted to him and I lived for Satan and now I turned against him and went to God, and I was so afraid that, because I had seen his power, that he was going to physically kill me. And I was terrified, and there were times that I couldn't sleep for nights on end because I was so afraid. But, you know, eventually I stuck with it, and I had friends like Nick, and I had my dad, and I realized that Christ's power could help me overcome that. And it took time, like I said, but eventually I got through it. And I think what I learned the most in those times, in those couple months, was that God's ability to set me free was far more powerful than Satan's ability to hold me down. And And there was nothing. There was no power, no fear. There was nothing so powerful that God's love could not overcome it in my life. And I learned that in the most powerful way possible. And the scripture that really helped me through this and why I picked it for today was Psalm 107. And I just kind of want to go through that and show you what I thought and what I felt as I read it back then. And if you look at verse 10, it says, "Some sat in darkness in the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains." And like I just told you guys, that was me. I was in darkness, and it was obviously not physical darkness, but just this despair and this spiritual anguish that I knew was real and terrifying. And I don't even know if I can explain it, but I know there's some of you out there who have been in that place of just total darkness, and you know exactly what I'm talking about, where just everything seems dark and like there's no way out. And that's exactly what this verse is talking about. But if you go on, it says, "They rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help." And I remember reading that, and it scared me because I knew I had rebelled against God. And, you know, I knew I was doing something wrong all those times when I was following Satan. But to read it in that language, to realize that I had gone against the God of the whole entire universe, that I had despised the counsel of the Most High, it scared me. And then it was no wonder that the next verse said, "They stumbled and there was no one to help," because here I was, I thought to myself, we have God and we have Satan. I'm going to choose Satan. And who in their right mind would want to get involved with someone like that? Who wants to go near someone who's willingly and knowingly following Satan with all he has? And so it scared me, and it made me aware of what I was like in those times. And then I read the next verse, and it was so incredible. And it says, "They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness in the deepest gloom and broke away their chains." And as I read that, I tried to remember what I thought the first time that I read it. And I'm pretty sure it was something like, I remember thinking that this verse has to be written for me specifically, because that's exactly what happened. I was bound by these chains, and I was in this utter darkness, and God just set me free. And yeah, it was a process, but I knew there was that moment where I was no longer held captive to that. And it was incredible. And as I read it again, what I keep thinking is, people need to hear this. Because there are so many people who are stuck in this darkness, and not just in the occult, but in other darkness and bound by other chains. And this is exactly what they need to hear, because that's exactly what God did. He set me free completely. And not only that, but the verse says that when you cry out to God, he hears you and he saves you. You know, when I turned to him, he wasn't waiting to rub it in my face and to just punish me. Yeah, there was consequences, but he was there waiting for me to turn to him so he could set me free, and that's what he wanted to do. And that's what he wants to do for everyone who turns away from their darkness into him. And, you know, like I keep saying, it took time. And even as I prepared today, I was afraid, and I told Dr. Smith so many times that, you know, I was afraid that I was going to come under these heavy spiritual attacks. I feel like I was a target for Satan because I knew his power, and he wanted to get back at me. And I still struggle with that, but now I know that I'm not alone in that struggle. And, you know, my mom, she still has multiple sclerosis. Miraculously, God healed her from the cancer, which is incredible. But she still has multiple sclerosis, and my parents are still divorced. My mom's on her third husband. And, you know, my brother's still not here, and I still deal with the effects of all those things. But I don't deal with them alone. And I think the biggest thing that I got from my journey so far, and this isn't just for people who, you know, are stuck in the occult or struggle with Satanism. And I mean, it is for them very much, because that's where I was. And if God set me free from being a follower of Satan, he can set anyone free. So it's also for anyone else who's going through a trial, or any Christian who's tempted to blame God for what they're going through, or anyone. But the biggest thing that I learned is that I would rather be in the worst time of my life with God than in the best time without him. Because in the end, it's only God. It's not alcohol. It's not drugs. It's definitely not Satan. It's only God who can truly set us free and take us from total darkness It's a beautiful light. And so I'd encourage you to read Psalm 107 again, because there's no darkness and there's no chains that are so powerful that God cannot set us free. Thanks.